Okay, so we're live. Welcome back to the Magic Minds podcast. I'm Matt Bourke. You're watching and listening to the Liberties number one podcast. Yup, the Liberties, yup, the Flats. On the show today, I am joined by my pal, the lovely, the wonderful Hannah Lilly.
Yup, Mullingar.
Yup, Mullingar. Look at her with her tan. Is that fake tan?
What?
The show is slightly different today. We are in Mullingar. We're in Hannah's hometown. Look, I'm all about doing something different, doing something new, putting ourselves outside the comfort zone, and that's what we're going to do today. We've been threatening to do this podcast
for ages.
When is the last time you were on the podcast?
Like 2 years ago. It was before COVID, I think.
Was it?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
So it was 2 years ago. We said we'd do it again.
Or it was COVID year, maybe, because we recorded it. I know I was in my garage, so maybe it was 2020, but it was a long time ago.
Yeah. You're just locked in your garage.
I was locked in the garage, yeah.
That's a different podcast. Christian, what's the crack? What are you doing locking her in a fucking garage? Anyway, right? Jesus Christ.
It's a long time ago.
I'll edit this bit out. So I'm in Mullingar. We're just basically going to drive around. Me and my pal, Gemma, from the National Rehab, we used to pick her up in Ranelagh. We drive, and on the way to work, we used to talk about things going wrong on the job or things that were on our mind, and we call it carpool therapy. So that's what me and Hannah are going to do today. We're just going to basically drive around.
Talk about stuff that's going wrong.
This could be a long fucking drive. So look, I basically said to her a minute ago, so where are we going to go? Well, I don't mind, we'll talk about whatever. I says, no, literally, where the fuck are we going to go? Like, I don't know Mullingar. The last time I was in Mullingar, I was on a date and I slept in my car.
Well, we could drive through the town if you want, and then you can see Joe Dolan's statue.
No!
Yeah.
Joe Dolan?
The statue of him, yeah.
I fucking love Joe Dolan. Yes, let's go. Right, we're off. We were going for basically an hour podcast or whatever. We'll see how long we last. So come here, let's have the chats.
Yeah. How do you want to know? I'll talk about anything, as I said.
Yeah. So how was Christmas for you? What's the crack with Christmas?
Oh well, last Christmas we all had COVID.
Yeah.
So of course this year it was like, oh, Christmas is going to be like so amazing because we won't have COVID. And
yeah.
Then, and I'm brilliant at like all the organizing. I love that, like the getting ready for the kids, doing, you know, getting all that stuff ready, the thinking about it, the planning, the prepping, the wrapping. And so Christmas up to like, it was gorgeous Christmas morning. It's just us in the house. We don't have family over or go anywhere. So it's me, my husband, and four kids.
Now you tell me left or right when
left.
We get up here, okay?
So Christmas morning was gorgeous, and we kind of had a lazy afternoon or whatever. Just I didn't even cook a dinner. We had like party food and stuff, and then like in the afternoon, just this feeling of just like kind of set in for me. And it wasn't brilliant, that's the truth. And it was just that feeling of, oh shit, like I've been here before, this feeling of something, of not feeling good when you should be feeling good, which spiraled into feeling really like full of pity, low, sad, anxious, and that kind of got progressively worse over the whole Christmas period. And I would kind of get myself out of it, and all the energy it takes to, I mean, I'm the joy queen, I'm the joy cheerleader, I'm Hannah Lilly joy project, and so I was doing all, trying to do all the things I thought would get me out of it to avoid feeling it, I suppose. It wasn't brilliant.
Yeah, you know, it's interesting what you just said there about feeling brilliant when you're meant to be feeling brilliant, isn't it? Rammed down our throat that we're meant to be feeling brilliant. Christmas is that we're meant to be feeling brilliant. But here's the thing, what you just talked about there, you know, wrapping presents, getting ready, a whole lot of energy expended for that. So the body is going to be tired.
Yeah.
But then we have this feeling because society says, oh no, you should be happy at Christmas. And we don't realise, actually, do you know what? I'm probably tired as well as emotionally drained. And then we put more pressure on ourselves.
Yeah. And then it's like holiday, rest. And like, well, I'm not great at resting anyway. It wouldn't be my strongest point, slowing down. But it's like, they're telling you how you should be, you know, lie on the couch, relax, watch Netflix. I mean, my youngest son is autistic, for starters. So it's actually totally not a holiday. He wasn't in preschool. It's way more difficult with him home than if he wasn't. But so then you kind of feel like you're failing at everything that you're meant to be doing at Christmas, which is just being full of love, joy, gratitude, and like really in, yeah, really in, enjoying it.
Yeah. But yet you're struggling.
And that you're struggling, and then the guilt, then what happens with me is then I think, oh, you're ruining this now for everybody else. You're crap. You're a horrible person. And then the minute I get into that, that's like, it's like a broken record.
Yeah. And you were like, and what you just said a couple of minutes ago, I've been here before.
Yeah.
And then you're, before you know it, your ball's deep in it.
Yeah.
Like, there's no getting out, you know, you're
straight
like.
Straight down here, so.
Yeah.
Yeah, then you're just in it, and that I, like, it's horrible. And I just don't think there's any pain like that. And I call it like having a stick that you beat yourself with. And I'll say, like, put down the stick and pick up your pom-poms and, like, cheer for yourself instead. But it gets replaced so... It feels so hard sometimes.
Mm.
And I think at one stage I thought naively that, like, when you do a self-development journey and you start healing and all that, that one day you reach this place that it's all just like, ah, and, like, it never happens again.
Yeah, absolutely. I know I fall into that trap many, many times. When I'm in that, like, I had an absolute nightmare Christmas Day. I woke up as well, and I was talking to my daughter on the phone, and I seen her mum's house, and it was beautiful. It was so picturesque around, you know, the whole ideology of Christmas.
Yeah.
The big tree, the lovely decorations, they have a gorgeous house, they have a loving family. And I'm thinking, I'm lying in my bed, my daughters are somewhere else. What the fuck is my life all about? And then I further compel myself. I thought you had a sort of talk.
Yeah.
You made this video before Christmas about triggers and, you know, Christmas, da 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 da. And I went, oh, you're a fucking fake. You're a liar. You know, and then
it's just cruel, isn't it?
Yeah.
Just, Joe is going to come up on the right. I just don't want you to miss him. So
oh, Joe. Joe is coming
Joe
up
is
on
coming
the right.
Up on the right. So sorry. We're going to. Yeah, there. See?
That's Joe Dolan.
Joe Dolan.
Yes. Oh me, oh my, you make me cry. You're such a good looking woman.
Yeah.
Oh, what a fucking legend.
Yeah.
Yes, you're the Joe Dolan. I'm going to go back and get a picture taken with Joe.
Yeah, you'll have to. Yeah, definitely. Yeah. So, yeah, that's like.
Yeah, so we're back to the old story that we're not good enough, we're not doing enough, we're not. And that seems like the common theme with you. That's the story you're telling yourself. I'm not handling it, I'm not doing it right. If I was doing it right, I would be experiencing the Christmas that everyone else experienced, the happiness, the love.
Yeah.
The...
Yeah, and then what starts to happen with me then is I start catastrophizing everything. So all the things that I've planned for my work and all the things that are coming up, oh, so you're never going to be able to do them. How are you going to be? You can't even manage Christmas at home. How are you going to manage anything like that? You know, and then in comes the, you know, going onto Instagram. And I know that it's not all real. I mean, I know that it's not, because people who are putting certain stuff up on Instagram might be messaging me to tell me that I'm struggling, but still you're looking at it going, oh, look at these people, they're all sparkly and
a 1,000,000%
fabulous. And then I'm looking at somebody else who's like, does a similar line of work to me, but is in a totally different place in their story, like
comparison.
And I'm comparing, oh, look, I thought, you know, they're going to be speaking to 1,000 people next year, and I'm, you know, oh.
So what we're doing is we're finding any little screed of evidence to confirm that we are shy, and the story I'm telling myself is true.
Yeah, and I call it the victim pit, which is a really like...
Go straight?
Yeah, go straight, and then... which way will we go?
I'll just keep navigating.
You just go wherever, then turn around after so long.
Go on.
Yeah, I call it the victim pit, and it's hard. It's kind of... I find it even a bit triggering even saying that, because, you know, the word... How we perceive the word victim...
Yeah.
...is, you know... like kind of harm being done to us by somebody else, but we are the victim and we are the punisher when we're in the victim pit.
Yeah.
And there's a certain part that almost I think gets some weird kind of kick out of being in it, you know, when I'm in that place of and that's it sounds really strange, doesn't it, to say like I'm getting pleasure out of being in that horrible, horrible place, because it's horrible.
What I'm thinking is it's safe and we know it.
Yeah.
It's familiar.
Yeah.
And it's easier to be with that than something that we don't know, the uncertainty.
Exactly. It's that whole, like, and often actually I find myself in that place when good things are happening.
Yeah.
Or on the horizon, or, you know, things I've wanted to happen are maybe coming to fruition.
Yeah.
I'm speaking at a festival this Saturday. That's something that I'd kind of had in my vision board in my head that I wanted to do. But then suddenly I'm in this horrible place of, oh, you're never going to be able to do anything. Oh, you're a piece of shit.
Yeah.
And yeah, it's familiar. And it's that whole thing of, like, it's easier, even though easy is the wrong word because it's horrible, to stay in the painful place because it's familiar, because you know it.
Yeah.
Like, and I say to people, like, when other people are experiencing it and I'm in my, not that, but I'm in my good place, whatever, it's like, when have I felt this before? you know, like,
yeah,
like this is, it's not even relative to how I feel now. This is a hurt from a long time ago that I'm just reliving. But so it was a weird Christmas.
But do you know what I got to pick up on, and I've noticed this in myself, and you've said it when you started this conversation, is I noticed I've been here before, and that's something, like, people always ask me, what did you do? And I always remind myself of, what did I do with it? I remind myself of, we've been here before.
Yeah.
This is an old story. And can I believe this story? Can I be listening to this shit?
Yeah.
You know, when I noticed myself that you had said about, you know, going on social media and seeing all the Gucci presents and that for the compound. So what I done was I stopped.
Yeah.
I didn't do where before. I just kept going, and I'd have fed that feeling. I'd have fed it, and it got worse and worse. But I didn't. I pulled back.
Yeah.
And that's what this is all about. And I remind myself now is, I'm not meant to have it all sorted, but I don't have to stay in as long.
Yes, and do you know, like, because it's really easy, like, I started, I suppose, looking at, like, ways I could, like, the self-development journey, or whatever you want to call it, healing, yeah, back in 2014, beginning of 2015, that's when I began. Like, really before that, I didn't have a notion about anything. I didn't have a notion of being responsible for my own joy and my own life. I didn't know there was things other than just being cross and angry, and I medicated myself with, like, alcohol, with eating disorders. Like, they were the ways that I got through. And when I felt shit, and, like, since then, there's been loads of amazing times. There's also been some really difficult times. I've had postnatal depression after some of my babies. And then this Christmas, and then I'm here again. Oh my God, how am I here again? I'm meant to be moving from, but actually, when I step back from it and get out of that, like, little,
That chaotic state, that catastrophizing.
Yeah, I've been here before.
Yeah.
But when I was here before, I was bulimic. I was binging and I was purging to make myself feel better. I wasn't telling anybody about it. I was, you know, I was obsessively exercising to try and, you know, control these feelings. I was doing all these things. I'm not doing those things anymore.
Brilliant.
You know, and and it used to take months to get out of this stuff, if I was even aware that I could get out of it. And this time it was, what, 5 days? And you actually, because I'd messaged you and you said, you know, you've been here before, it's going to come out. And I was so angry. I was like, I don't want to hear that. I want to hear, no, but it was brilliant, but I want to hear.
I should have got me whistle and me buntings for the pity party.
I was like, I want you to tell me, take yourself down to, you know, an institution and tell them to put you in a room and not let you out again, and it's so terrible for you, and everybody needs to mind it, you know. And that's why I wanted to be fed with how awful it is for me.
But
so I was kind of like, I'm annoyed, but he's right, I know he is.
But here's the thing, and as I have said this to my own counselor many times before, we've fucking been here before, Jesus, I know, but we're in the same position, but we're deeper and deeper and deeper. And here's the thing, when we look on social media and we compare ourselves to others, I do often say, yeah, that looks amazing and I'm not there. But they didn't have the start that we had.
Yeah.
They didn't have to go through the trouble, the trauma, the fucking, you know, we started off a lot slower than they did. But look how far I've come in spite of the shit that I had to go through. And I wonder, would they be where they are today? And they probably have got trauma, but that fucking helps me.
Yeah, and also for me, like, I actually did put up a post saying that I was having a difficult few days, you know, and that
does that help?
It normally does. And for me, social media is really positive, but I normally share after the effect. I rarely share when I'm super feeling vulnerable. Like, it's normally after, you know, I was feeling, but I'm much better now. Which I think is probably, in general, a better way to go, you know, than, like, sharing from the wound as it's weeping.
Well, if you just in case, I'm okay doing it because I've got years and years of training and I've many, many supports.
Yeah,
so you're dead right there.
But this time I did really feel that I needed to just, for me, it was like to let some of the pressure off. I can feel the pressure building, you know, of me. Yeah. And then I think, oh, people are only interested in me if I'm, like, sparkly, the Hannah who met. That's not true at all, but that's what that voice was saying. People only like you because you make them feel better.
Because
they want Hannah, who's all, like, sparkly and has this wonderful energy, and they feed off you and they feel, but you know, so they don't want this version of you.
Or really, that's just the part of you that you just want to be all the time.
Yeah, exactly. Well, yeah, I don't like that other part.
Yeah, you're like, well, it's like me, I just want to be love and kind all the time. I mean, when I fucking flip some of the fingers, like, ah, look at you, you're not that kind now. And I go, you're part of both. They're just parts of
you. So I did share it and it did feel instantly better. And I got quite a few messages from people, you know, saying thanks for that. And look, if you looked at these people's Instagram accounts, it would appear that everything was wonderful.
Yeah.
And they weren't necessarily feeling how I was feeling. But everybody feels pressure. And everybody, like... And I just think the most powerful thing is knowing that you're not on your own.
Because
I think
Christ.
When we're in that fit, you think, I'm the only person who feels like this. Yeah. Therefore, I'm a failure and everybody else is brilliant. And there's something so powerful about hearing someone say, I felt this way.
Oh, me too. Like that video I made on Christmas Day, the amount of people that said to me, Jesus, you've hit a spot. And I said this when I brought my book out. People are like, that's me. And I've always felt like I'm just a statistic. That there's so many men, there's so many women. Don't get into the gender because we're fucking all human.
Yeah.
And to hear someone, because when I went to counselling, people were like, and my counsellor was like, yeah, people think like that. I was like, wow, do they? I never thought people talk about themselves or think like that. I just thought I was a psycho. So for somebody to validate and go, yeah, I know that feeling. So now that's what I try to do.
Yeah.
I try to make the videos to say, it creates one, transparency for me, and then two, it brings me closer to people. What do you think?
Yeah, totally. I think I think if you can, I think it was Brené Brown said, like, about vulnerability, and if you could fill a stadium with people, and have them stand up, like, say how people stand up in Alcoholics Anonymous and say, you know, I'm Hannah and I'm an alcoholic. But if people could stand up in the stadium and share something about themselves that they're, like, ashamed of or that they're struggling with, it just immediately creates such a sense of relief for people, and it creates a connection. And I think with the world of how it is now, we're more connected than we ever were. But we're more disconnected than we ever were as well. Like, because you don't have to check in on people anymore, because you can just go by I know what they're doing. I haven't seen that person in 15 years, but sure, I know that they live here or they go out there or they wear this and they like that, because we share everything. But actual, like, real, true, honest connection, and about what being human is like. And this human experience that keeps coming up lately, people keep saying, you know, we are living the human experience. And the human experience is love and kindness and joy, but it's also pain and suffering.
We're so seduced into following happiness, love, joy, when people are not mentioned the same breath, pain, trauma, debt, hurt, uncertainties, fear, anxiety, they come at the same, they're attached. You can't have one without the other. And do you know, I was on a course years ago, a leadership course, transformation leadership. And on the very first day, the person that run the course, the class coordinator, the course coordinator, was about to start talking, and she stopped. And she says, she got all kind of red and rashy around the neck, And I was loving this. I was like, she's uncomfortable. And she stopped and went and goes, I'm really nervous. I'm sorry, I have to gather myself, right?
Yeah.
And I put my hand up and I says, I'm really sorry, bro. I said, that's amazing. I'm delighted that happened. I says, I'm sitting here shitting, absolutely shitting. And the fact that you reveal a vulnerability to me and you're the leader of this course, I says, you have me.
Yeah.
I'm fucking all in, because I'm sitting there with game changers from the HSE, managers, CEOs, and I'm just a 42-year-old man that feels like an 8-year-old. Not a fucking leader, vulnerable and nervous, and you're telling me, I was like, oh, game on.
Yeah.
I fucking loved it. It brought me closer.
And it's that giving permission. When we are willing to share that we are flawed and we have things that are not, like, just other than the perfect image that you see, it gives other people the permission to do so as well. So when we're vulnerable and we say, I'm hurt and I need help.
Yeah.
It gives other people the permission to do that thing as well. It gives other people permission to reach out and ask for it. Do you know? See, it's kind of it takes a real courage to be vulnerable. But again, like, self-compassion is the thing that that's the basis, I think, of everything, and the thing that I need to work on the most. But it's easier to be vulnerable if you can give yourself self-compassion, because if you can say, I'm going to share with somebody that I'm this, that feeling, that even if it doesn't go the way you wanted it to go, if you're going to be okay, nice to yourself, you can do anything then. You can handle anything.
Yeah, yeah. It's really like, I'm always nervous going into the childhood stuff because it always sounds like I'm blaming. But in order to join the dots, we have to look back, and we have to look back to observe what has created. And I'm not saying it's all because of that, but it has a contributing factor. And when we were growing up, and I don't know about from your perspective, is that we were told to dress like that, don't speak like this, boys don't say this, boys don't say that, little girls cry, boys don't cry, don't let the neighbour see this.
Yeah.
And all that was doing unconsciously was telling us that we're not good enough.
Yeah, I mean, as children, we come into the world with needs that need to be met. So we have needs, and like the basic needs of comfort, warmth, like love being the most important of them, to feel nurtured, to feel safe. And no, I don't actually believe that anybody reaches adulthood having had all of their needs met every single day of their lives. So on varying different degrees, people will have had, that's how I feel, on varying different degrees, people will have had needs not met, whether it's by their parents, caregivers, in school, you know. And again, it's totally not about blame. Like, we kind of can't heal if we hang on to blame and it being somebody else's fault, because once we're an adult, it is our responsibility.
100%.
And we have the power. And as an adult, we can meet all those needs. Every single need that wasn't met, we can now meet ourselves if we decide. And that is it's both amazing and a pain in the arse, because
it's shit being an adult.
Yeah,
I want someone to blame.
You have to work on yourself. And I'm actually, at the moment, I'm training in rapid transformational therapy, which is created by this woman called Marissa Peer. I'm not even sure exactly why I'm training in it, just it really interested me. But it's a lot to do with going back to that inner child, going back to the things that triggered a feeling of not being good enough, of not being worthy, and being able to go back to that child and change the story, rewrite the story from now. And like, the word trauma, and when we hear like because Gabor Mate, he's amazing, you know. And I think when we hear the word trauma, we often associate it with what we consider really serious
sexual abuse, physical abuse.
Yeah, like massive loss. Trauma can be, as I don't want to say the word simple, but it can be being collected late from school. Yeah. It can be feeling like you're not really heard, like someone's always telling you, be quiet.
Not getting eye contact, being left in a pram, not being attended to, you know, that sense of detachment.
There's so many. Emotionally
detached, physically detached. It's not just about sexual abuse.
Yeah, I think sometimes people feel like, I don't deserve to feel this way about myself because nothing really bad has happened to me.
Here's a big piece that someone said to me. Maybe, I don't know where I read it, or one of my supervisors said it to me. It may be not the things that happened to you, it may be the things that didn't happen for you.
Exactly, yes.
There's a word, it'll come to me, go on.
There was an amazing thing. Oh, we can go down the Dolan Bridge now if you want. Oh, if you go round again.
We go up there,
it's the longest bridge in Ireland.
Attunement.
Yeah, and it's how things are responded to.
Yeah.
So two people could have the exact same not nice thing, we'll say, happen to them. And how one is the response from the caregiver or whoever to the situation, that is what will actually, whether it becomes trauma or not, you know, like, is how it's been reacted to, how it's been dealt with, how you feel.
My mum never told me she loved me. Right. And I've never felt like I was loved, right? And I've always looked for that. And my mum said, me and my mum had this great chat years ago, and she's, mum, no one ever told me that they love me, and I didn't know that was important. So she just didn't give it to me because she didn't get it.
Yeah.
But I needed that.
Yeah.
So it wasn't something she may have done, it was something that she didn't do.
Yeah.
But
exactly, yeah. And again, it's this whole thing of everybody is doing everything to the right. Everybody is doing everything with what they have.
Yeah.
Like, and it's so helpful when you think of parents, when you think of people who've hurt you in any shape, or for friends, relationships, and everybody's just doing what they can do with the tools that they have and with where they are on their journey.
Yeah.
And then it's down to us. It's
really easy to say that at an intellectual level.
Yes.
But it's not very fucking easy to get it to move from your head into your heart.
Yeah. And talk about intellectual level. I went to my counsellor a couple of weeks ago, and hadn't seen her for months. but my little boy wasn't sleeping and I had been sleeping, so I was feeling crazy. So I made an appointment.
Yeah.
The following week he was sleeping and I was no longer feeling crazy. I thought, oh, I don't really want to go now, I want to cancel, you know. And but I did go. And sometimes I just like sit and talk crap to her, you know, like tell her all the good stuff that's happened, as if I was just meeting a friend for coffee.
Yeah.
This is the Joe Dolan Bridge map.
Hey, it's Joe the longest Dolan Bridge
in Ireland.
Yeah, you're like dancing around it.
Yeah.
You're like dancing around it.
Yeah, and I'd be just like, oh, you know, oh, this, I'm brilliant, this is good.
The but Joe Dolan Bridge. Joe, we're on Dolan the Joe Dolan Bridge. Yeah. Yes. This is the best ever.
I'd like to walk up and down it for 24 hours for some kind of charity. Yeah, I just thought that'd be
Joe Dolan was popular around the world when planes weren't even travelling to some places.
Yeah, and we have Niall Horan is from Mullingar as well.
Wow.
Legend.
And you.
And me.
So you, Niall Horan, and Joe Dolan.
Yeah.
You've made it when you get your statue up in Mullingar.
Actually, a friend sent me a message.
Did you say it's the longest bridge in Ireland?
Yeah, that's what it's. So their claim, that's what it says on the sign.
Fuck off.
Yeah.
What?
Yeah, the longest bridge in Ireland. No, it's not. It's only over bog, though. It's not even over like a river or anything. But.
Did you ever go and see him play?
No, I didn't.
So what was the purpose of this bridge? It's not really over it.
No, I'm not really sure. Just to have the longest bridge in Ireland and named after Joe Dolan. What other purpose do you need? it's a nice bridge. And you can see the cathedral. On a good day, you can't. You can see the cathedral normally, which my son calls the landmark.
Roy, come here. We're going to go back across the Joe Dolan Bridge and then we're going to go back to you talking to your counsellor.
Oh, yeah.
You dancing around it.
Because we were talking about, because you mentioned like logical thought. And then it came up.
Intellectual.
Yeah, intellectualizing things.
Yeah. And it keeps us safe.
I've always been a people pleaser to the point of, I would say, a chronic people pleaser. I felt a need to keep people happy and to, I measure my, not so much now, but it would have been the way I measure my self-worth on how happy is everybody around me, even people I didn't like. I just needed everybody to like me and to feel
keeps you safe.
When I was a kid, my parents had a very turbulent relationship.
Yeah.
And I said to my counsellor, well, I believe that when I was a kid I felt that it was my job to keep my parents happy, and that has like gone, and if they weren't, I felt I wasn't good enough, and that's what I've carried on into my adult life. And she was like, but that sounds like a very adult thought. That's a very logical thought. You know, for a child to think. It's just you're telling me that your like 6-year-old self sat down and thought, you know, my parents are always fighting. There's a lot of chaos and turbulence and stuff in my house. Nobody seems to be happy. My sister was disabled. There's a lot of stress with that.
Yeah.
It's probably my, you know, it's my, I need to keep everybody happy. And if they're not all happy, I'm not good enough. And like she said, that seemed like a very, is it not possible that maybe you've intellectualized that as an adult and implanted that thought into your childlike head, and then maybe little Hannah just thought that it was all her fault. And
wow.
I was like, I just cried. I just couldn't stop. I just cried.
And what did you respond to that?
Well, I just cried. I couldn't even speak. And it was just like, oh, yeah, you know. And it was like, and you know when you cry, it means something there. And it was like, yeah, I think that actually, that is the case. Because a little kid can.
Even
we talk a lot about saying I am good enough, and like that we learn as children that we're not good enough. Children's minds can't actually even understand good enough.
Yeah.
They can just think I'm good or I'm not good.
Yeah.
I'm good, I'm not good, you know. So that was kind of it. And I was like, I think we can do that a lot, and especially if we're like really into self-development and reading and learning, and we can intellectualize a lot of where little child brains and, you know, they're quite simple, they're quite you know, basic in the, and so that's like giving me a whole load of stuff to work on there.
What I find with me is my actions, the things I do, are generally preventing me from feelings.
Yeah.
They keep me away from the driver of most things, and that's the feelings and emotions.
Yeah.
And I always, what's the driver? What's the motivation behind it all? And you know, whether it's a behaviour that I'm in, it's to keep me away from feelings and emotions that I'm avoiding.
Yeah.
You know, the feeling of abandonment, the feeling of a rejection, the feeling of unloved, blah 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 blah.
Yeah. And I mean that's me to a T as far as like busyness is concerned. I will just make myself so busy all the time, and that's as I've kind of released the layers of things I've done to medicate feelings.
Yeah.
That's kind of seems to be the one that I'm left with.
And even you talk and you're like, I don't really want to say this, you know, but isn't it great? Isn't it fucking wonderful that you have that awareness now to notice? And, and awareness is the greatest stage of a change, and we can only start making real great changes when we become aware.
And I hear it so often, people saying, I'm always busy, I don't get a moment, there's not enough time, there's not enough hours in the day, there's not enough, you know. And I'm self-employed, I love what I do. That's a really easy way to kind of mask over, but it's all right. Like, I love, like, sending people messages on Instagram at midnight because I love what I do. It's spark and joy. And I'm
I call myself out.
It's not, and I've written in my little journal, I've started a journal. To write a bit in it, old-fashioned write every day. And I was just writing, I found this piece of paper I had pinned on the notice board. And I'd written down energies that I wanted to attract more of in my life. And they were feelings of being aligned, free, expansive, generous, and peaceful. And but underneath it, this is about 3 weeks ago, I'd written.
And it all landed in your car today.
Yeah.
And here I am.
There you are.
Mr. Generous.
Mr. Deep, aligned, free, expansive, peaceful. Like it all came.
That's me.
I've manifested it all. But under, I've scribbled, hard to stop because it protects us from feeling stuff.
Oh, yeah. Like my training, my bare awareness, I practice bare awareness, right? And you take away all the story, you're left with what's the feelings, what's the emotion, what's the experience inside.
Yeah.
And busyness, social media, drink, drugs, wherever you use to avoid, and that keeps us from all that.
Yeah, and if you want to heal, and you want to, if you want to heal, you have to make space.
Yeah.
And that's like, because we've been chatting over the last few days, because I felt like I kept getting this tugging feeling inside that I needed to make space and I needed to pause, like, work projects and things. But I was just, this was just like bouncing like a tennis ball in my head, you know, like, oh well, if you do that, you're letting people down, boom, boom, boom. And more like the expectation I had of myself, well, you're never going to reach those goals that you've written down. If you do that, you're not going to do this, and you're going to miss opportunities, and if you don't post on social media, then, you know, a publisher isn't going to see you and tell you we want you, you know, all this, boom. And waking up every single morning with such anxiety and stress trying to make this decision, and it was you said, why are you making it so fucking complicated? Like, and I talk about this, follow your joy. Like, and joy isn't always just like really, it's not all just, joy isn't just wonderful, gorgeous, sparkly stuff. Joy is just the feeling of whatever brings a peace. It's of what's right.
Yeah.
And your head doesn't know that. And it gets all, you know, but it, you know it in here. And I knew that I needed to create space. And I needed to hit pause. And I still, even when I realised, it was still an, oh my God, like, God, then you're the person who's all talk and no action. All this stuff is coming, you know, you're all talking, you're telling people you're going to do this, you're going to do that, and then you're saying that you have to pause. But it's like, right, if I just approach this decision with the idea that it doesn't matter at all what anybody else thinks, which of course it doesn't, but we all care what people think to a point, but if you just take away all that, does it, if people are angry with you, if people are upset, if people think you're a fraud or whatever, take away all that and make the decision with loads of self-compassion that whatever happens, if the hotel that you're doing in the event in says you have to pay for it even though you're not doing it on that day, you know, whatever, but if you just deal with it all with loads of self-compassion, is it a difficult decision? And it was like, no, not at all. Then it's just, I have to do what's right for me. And that in itself is self-compassion. Making a decision that's right for me. And
that's a big piece. Like, that's the big piece. Because what we're really saying is, unconsciously, that we're more important. And I don't want to be, you know, self-righteous and go, but we are more important. And my healing is more important. And my process for my family and da-da-da is more important right now. And we, somewhere along the line, somewhere from a very, very young age, that we weren't told that we were important through the way the our experience was, and now we find that so fucking crazy to choose us over all these people.
And I truly feel like when it comes to, whether you call it manifesting or whatever, visualizing, whatever you want to bring into your life, you can only bring in what you truly believe you're worthy of.
Yeah.
like deep down, and to
yeah.
And it, that doesn't mean that you can't be an Oscar winning actor with billions of dollars in the bank, because you can, and you can still be unhappy. Yeah, yeah. But to really experience joy in your life, you have, and bring in the things that you want, you have to believe that you're worthy of them. And if you don't do the healing and you don't do the work and you don't give yourself what you need for that, then it's not. So if I just push through now, if I just yeah. push through this and do all the things that are written in the diary, and take on all the coaching clients and do the events and do the stuff that I had told the world I was going to do, and I just push through, even if that led to a book deal, say, or something, this stuff is all going to still be there that I yeah. need to face.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It'll still be there when you come back.
Yeah. So it's like, do you know what? I'm gonna trust, and that for me is terrifying. I'm gonna just you know that, you know when they do that team building thing when you fall back. I mean, yeah. I was never able to do that. You know, like yeah. fall back and let people catch you. But yeah. I feel like that's, I'm just gonna do that, and let's just see what happens.
Yeah, it's, and here's the thing about the childhood stuff, you know, people pleasing. For me, I talk about this to my young one, Shauna, right? When she walks into the market on, say, Thursday, we're back in the market, she just walks in, and I just watch, right? She just walks in, she'll pull the cord across, she'll go in, she'll grab something, right? And I know she doesn't come in and say hello to everyone, right? Hey, Billy, hey, Sarah, hey, thing, right?
Yeah.
So, okay, when I come in, how you, Bill? How you, Claire? How you, thing? And then I sit there without judgment. Why does she do that, and why do I do it? For me, I think, and this is only a think, I think this is what it is, I make the place safe. Yeah. How are you? We all get along. She doesn't give a bollocks.
Yeah.
And that's not disrespectful to those people. She's not making anything safe. She's just coming in. I'm just living my best life.
She's just making it right for her.
Yeah. She just yeah. rocks in, does whatever. She doesn't care whether people don't like her, dislike her. And she's not rude. She's not like yeah. fucking. She just comes in, gets on, and she's like. And when she feels ready, she'll say to people, how are you? How's it going? She's not rude. She's not disrespectful.
And that is just so brilliant, though. Do you know what? Right? It's like music to my ears. And if I look at my daughter, who's 17, she's the same.
Yeah.
And I'll sometimes feel like, oh, you could have been a bit nicer to that person. Or
but why?
She'll be laughing with her friend. She's the one friend, and the two of them, when they're together, they're, you know, crazy giggly. It's lovely. Yeah. Like, you love to hear. But she'd say, well, people give us funny looks sometimes. And I say, well, I think it's because you're laughing, and they probably think you're laughing at them.
Fuck them.
You know, like, don't. And I, and what I'm thinking is, don't laugh in case those people are thinking that that you're sniggering at them. But yeah, it does.
Why not? That's for them to worry about.
Yeah, exactly. That's their stuff. And it makes me like so happy.
So they're so free, right?
Yeah.
So here's my thing. And back to you and I, and what we may perceive is we do those things to make everything safe.
Yeah.
To make, you know, our surroundings, we predict, control, to keep us safe, not getting hurt.
Yeah, yeah.
And
exactly.
it's in our brain. It's a deep rooted thing, protection.
Yeah.
And if I say along to everyone, we're very social, we'll be grand, we won't get hurt.
Yeah.
And we learned that from a very young age.
Yeah.
So we don't trust fucking anyone. Do you know what I mean? So
yeah,
trust is a big piece.
And again, I think it's Gabor Mate said, if you never say no, you know, and like...
Say that again.
Gabor Mate said, if you never say no, then your yeses don't mean anything.
Yeah, I get that.
And I was like, that is just... And for me, again, I love people, and I love talking about, and I love seeing people feel better. I hate thinking of people, you know, but I... To the point as well, I would be a real present person. I would buy people presents. You know, I would often like want to buy people presents. Now, I love buying people presents. But I had to start saying to myself, when I started working on like putting it in boundaries in place and maybe not being having to be this certain type of Hannah for everybody.
Yeah.
When I'm going to do something, when I'm going to say yes to somebody, or whether I'm going to, I think, oh, you could send them flowers or you could do this. I think, am I doing this from a place of pure love and like abundance and just like a generosity and a you know, an all-round one, or am I wanting to do this? Is it coming from a place of lack and scarcity and need? Is this because I need them to think of me in a certain way? And a lot of the times that it was more to do with the second. It was that I would need to do nice things for people because I would need them to think nice things about
yeah,
me.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And that's not the way that, you know, then it's like, then don't do it.
Okay, but here's the thing, right? I noticed this as well, right? And I just want to, just the answer to that question is usually in the impulse before the thinking started. So you see a homeless person on the ground, right?
Yeah.
And they're looking for money. The chances are, if you want to give money, right? For me, I do this, yeah. right? I notice I want to help and I go to give it, right?
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden I wonder, is anybody looking at me? Oh, there's Matt, the nice, kind man from Magic Minds, yeah. right? And there's the boat going on and I go, no, just continue what you wanted to do.
Yeah. And
there's two things happen for me. That does kick in. I go, I hope everyone thinks I'm a real nice guy, blah, blah.
Yeah.
But the wanting me to help usually is the driver. Yeah. That started off, and then the ego kicks in. Oh, I'm such a nice man. I'm like fucking Mother Teresa.
And also, for me, sometimes I think it came from a place of I'm not enough. Like back to this, I'm not enough. Just me, you know. So like, if I would maybe go meet friends for a coffee, would I need to bring them? I would like maybe bring them flowers as well, or you know, a little. Yeah. Now sometimes that's wonderful, but it's because me, just me, is not enough. I need to be me plus. Oh, she's so wonderful. She comes to meet you for coffee and she brings you flowers. You know what I mean? Like, it's like trusting that just me,
yeah.
like this,
yeah.
is enough.
Warts and all.
Needing to make it, more. And sometimes I'm totally not aware. Okay, it's like awareness again. As somebody say, it's awareness. It's just trying to tune in. And sometimes you just know that something is... Like, sometimes you just do things and it's totally just from a place of love and joy and all that. But...
when I do workshops, right, and I have my pal Deb, she's not my supervisor, she's my supervisor, she's a psychologist 20 something years, and she said to me, you know, she's mad, sometimes you just have to turn up. And I was like, what? And I'm like in my head going, are you for fucking real? You're nuts. Just turn up. That's not enough, right?
Yeah.
But I got what she meant.
Yeah.
Like, you are enough. Yeah. Like, I'd have to be diligent on the details and all the bells and whistles. And she says, you just turning up is just enough sometimes. Yeah. So basically what she was saying to me is, man, you're enough.
Yeah.
You're enough. You're just your presence. You just, you care.
Yeah.
Your kindness, your love, your enthusiasm. Do you know, that might be just enough where I'm like you. I'll bring another present. I'll do more.
I'll work more. I'll prepare more. I have notes around my 100 journals, like pieces of paper here, there and everywhere. I've started sticking them on the wall to try and give some kind. Because I'm like, don't forget this, don't forget that.
Yeah.
And it's like, no, just whatever's meant. If your intention is like...
Yeah.
Good. You know, and like even today, I was too tired to actually think about, oh, what exactly am I going to, I want to take that gem so that someone gets something from it. It doesn't matter.
No.
The intention is to have a nice chat, and it would be amazing if someone goes, oh God, like, it just do it from a place of love, and of course, then everything's going to be
my
all right.
My level of trust for myself, when we were talking about the trusting, right? My level of trust, when I started this podcast business off, I detailed every question, what I'm going to ask.
Yeah.
I structured it, I controlled it, I predicted. I drove up here today to not even think about one question. All I'm going to do is press record and say, fuck it, just like your earrings say. And I trust in the process. I'm just going to go, fuck it. That's how far my trust has gone.
Yeah.
Like all the work. And when I'm in Shittsville, Arizona, going, I don't think I've gone any far with my therapy, and it's all the same. Here we are now doing this interview, rocking around Mullingar.
Yeah.
This is the benefits of the work that we're doing. And sometimes we miss this.
Yeah. And actually, you know what? Was it a couple of months ago, I had another pity party. I was feeling really just awful. I had an opportunity to do something, to speak about something, and I really felt like I totally messed it up. And after I spoke, another woman spoke, and I spoke, I was all rushed and shouty, and she was really calm and lovely and slow, and I just fell into this whole like, oh my God, you're all the things I don't, all the too much things about me, too loud, too excitable, too everything, too rushed, too the, and I just fell into this like, again, like pit of like, I don't like you, and you know, you're hot. And it was, I went onto my phone and up popped the podcast that we recorded 2 years ago, or 2.5, 3 years ago, I don't know, anyway, ages ago. And I never listened to it fully because I don't generally, you know, sit around listening to myself, but my daughter, sometimes I'll be recording, you know, like something for Instagram, like a video to share, and I'll be just looking at that, and she goes, oh, there you are again, look. Sitting listening, I'm like, oh God, you're fab, you don't get on camera. But no, I was feeling, but I came across a podcast that we had recorded, and
I
just thought, I'm just going to start listening to this. And it was really weird. I'd never done it before. I actually listened to myself like as if I was somebody else listening to me.
Yeah.
And there was things I said in that I wouldn't say now because I'm different than I was, because we're changing every second, and you know. That, yeah. But overall, I sat and I really, it was like for the first time ever properly, I actually really liked, I felt really proud of myself and you too. And I thought, oh God, we, like, this is lovely. And then that's kind of really made me want to do this again. Because I was like, oh, I really like listening to us. It was nice. It was real. And I just felt like, for the first time, I felt like proud of who I was and what I'd done. And I think we can spend so much time focusing so much on more work to do. And even I'm doing it now today. I'm saying, oh, I'm going to take a pause and I'm going to do some more work on myself. It's okay sometimes to just go, bloody, like, celebrate yourself. And like the other night, me and this one particular friend, who she was also having a shit Christmas on her own, and we were having FaceTimes and crying to each other on New Year's Eve. We were like, we were crying and laughing.
Yeah.
We said, but you know, and it was all the two, you know, all failed at this, failed at that, failed at the other. And I said, oh, do you know what? I'm going to just look through my phone. I'm going to look through my gallery of photos for 2022 and just see what I've done. Like, just because I'm thinking about is all the things I haven't done and I still need to do. And it was just, it wasn't even like, not like really big stuff, just stuff. I was just like, I've just lived another year. Like, and I've, you know, got my autistic son started in preschool, and, you know, I've washed the dishes most days, and I'm, you know, I've just, yeah, and I
it's fucking deadly.
I saw Dieter Von Teese. I actually met Dieter Von Teese, you know, the burlesque dancer. And like, just, there was loads of, I was really glad I took so many photos actually, because I just really realised, and it was the same when I listened to that podcast with you. I was like, God, like, look what you've done, look what you've got through. Look, you know, it's not about being all shiny and happy every single day and like always achieving stuff. And it's just like, just give yourself a break and say, well done. Like, I'm like, I'm a bit, you know, like this, 100%. Put your arms around yourself. Like, there's a move in yoga and you're like, hug yourself like that.
Yeah,
and cheer for yourself. And I'd written this declaration on the 14th of April 2022 saying, imagine if I cheered for myself the way I cheer for other people.
Yeah,
that's what I'm going to do from now on. I believe in me
100%,
and I'm making a difference. And I haven't stuck to that declaration every day, but it was a nice reminder of like, yeah, that's kind of, that's what I'm working towards. And actually nothing else matters other than that, because if we can be our own like cheerleaders, then everything, whatever happens or doesn't happen, it's insignificant really.
Honestly.
Because it's like, that's what matters. And whenever we take our last breath, God, this is sounding very deep now, isn't it? This sounds like, but you know, like, we don't talk about death enough.
Yeah.
I don't think it's going to happen to us all. But like, if you can be your own friend, then you're all right, aren't you?
Yeah, it's, look, I think a big piece what you just talked about there, and it's very timely in with the whole New Year's resolution and all that. I truly believe that we don't take enough time for reflection.
No.
Reflect upon the year you had. Think of all the things that you have done and achieved in spite of, you know, your lack of finance, your lack of opportunity, whether it's your sex, whether it's your race, whether it's your circumstance, whatever. Looking back at all that you've achieved, like what you did, and I'm not talking about the Premier League shit, just the normal stuff, like getting Josh to school or whatever, and going, fuck me. Like, I talk about this in a workshop I have called, you know, to Resilience Toolkit, and it's a thing called grounded optimism. And as I said to you, when I go into a shithole and I have difficulty, I instantly reflect upon the things that I've done and congratulate myself.
Yeah.
And why do I think I'll get out of that? Because my grounded optimism tells me I've got out of worse shitholes. Why would I not get out of this? Why would I not solve this problem?
Yeah.
And years ago, I would have never used that skill because I never trusted myself. I never believed in myself because no one believed in me. Well, I didn't think they did. My mum and dad were my advocate, but they said some stuff that made me think that they didn't believe in me, you know. But they did. They just were using this other tool they thought to motivate me. But in times like, when I'm struggling, I use grounded optimism and I look back and go, well, you've done this, wow, why would you not survive that?
Yeah.
And I am my greatest cheerleader.
Yeah.
Because I believe it. We find it hard to believe other people that were great, were good. and we don't believe in our fucking self.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, and it's like, and how can we want? Like, if we don't give stuff to ourselves, how can we get it from other people? Like,
yeah.
If we don't respect ourselves, and people will often say, nobody respects me. Do you respect yourself?
Yeah.
Nobody loves me. Do you love yourself?
100%. Like, nobody, that's a reflection of you.
Because everything is mirroring. Like, it really is. And that's like, you know, like what we get is what we're reflecting.
Yeah,
but, and you know, it's so like...
You have to be what you want.
Yeah. No one has any confidence in me. Do you have confidence in yourself? Yeah, you have to... You know, and the power we have when it comes to, you know, reframing our thoughts and our words. But sometimes you don't feel like doing it, you know, like when you're really like, but our brains believe what we tell them, so telling them something.
Oh,
if you tell yourself your shit and your crap and you lose everything, your brain believes it. If you tell it that you're amazing and you're wonderful, everything's going to be okay, your brain believes it.
And our physiology responds to our thoughts, you know.
Yeah.
And it's so easy to be swept along with that, but it's around slowing it right down and catching those thoughts and watching the physiology respond.
Yeah.
And then we learn and we practice over and over again to try and tune the two of these together. And sometimes we get swept away, like at Christmas or these big events. And we have to bear in mind that these big events create big emotions. And sometimes we can get swept along real quickly. But it's how quick can we get ourselves back out of the river and sit back on the bank and watch and observe.
Yeah. And it's like you talk about the toolkit. Like, there's things that I know if I do them every day, they make everything easier to manage.
Yeah.
I'll start to neglect them.
Yeah.
And then... But when the big things come and the difficult times come, I know the things that will make it easier for me to face them and get out of just the negative loop. But it's just giving yourself enough of a dig up just to stick on a piece of music that you like, that you know might like brings up some nice feelings, that makes it then easier to journal about how you're feeling. Or you know, it's just
I talked last night. I done that meditation.
I listened to the Love and Kindness meditation.
Yeah, I absolutely adore. Right, and in that I talk about, you know, storms, and me and you had storms over Christmas, and people had storms, and storms come along, and I say that to get through those, like an actual storm, we have to find safety, we have to find solitude, we have to find peace within that storm. What are the things that give you peace and solitude in your storms?
Well. It depends how stormy it is.
Yeah.
If I'm just like, you know, my go-to tools for like feeding self-compassion and helping myself be good to myself are music, movement, fresh air, gratitude. They're all like just they're like vital components to in my life now. Like they're my joy, what I call my joy triggers, and meditation. And I've realized, like, I have to be as diligent about doing those as I am about like brushing my teeth.
Yeah.
Because they make it easier for me to show myself self-compassion and to work on the relationship that I have with myself. Okay. And then if I'm in a good relationship with myself, then those things are just effortless to do anyway, because you naturally just want to do nice things for somebody that you love.
Brilliant. Yeah.
Do you know, it's like, but I can get really busy and caught up in stuff, and then it all, you know, it starts to...
But isn't it a lovely place to come back to?
Yeah.
Like, you know, people talk about, you know, the benefits of meditation, mindfulness, physical movement, da 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 da. They're to me now like my local used to be.
Yeah.
There's somewhere I can go now.
Yeah, they're to me what starting a diet on Monday was. Like, that's what I would do. Like, if I was, you know, it would be like, okay, well, I'm going to start a new diet on Monday, and I'd be writing out, like, the amount of calories I was going to eat and the exercise I was going to do and the before and after photos and all that. And that was my way of, like, dealing with it. Like, instead of that, now I write my... And, like, at night, I'll try and write just a couple nice things that happened in the day, so that even if crap happened... You know, we can really easily say that a day is bad because something bad happened, but like there was 24 hours. And you know, like the other day, I was thinking about what joy is. Like, I was thinking, like, what, because I always say joy is different to happiness, because for me, happiness comes from like external stuff, and joy is able to be around even when happiness is not present. You can feel joy in unhappy times. because joy can be being at a funeral where you're desperately sad, but somebody tells a really nice story about the person who's just died. Like, that to me, that's joy. Even if it's not happy because you're sad, but that's joy. Hearing, you know, like my uncle died, and my aunt says it brings her so much joy when people talk about it, you know, instead of not talking about it, because it's uncomfortable and weird. But so joy is not like, but that's not happy, because she's never going to be happy that her husband is not alive anymore.
No.
But it's joyful when people speak about him. So joy is. And the other day I just went for a walk, and I was feeling, I wasn't feeling brilliant, I wasn't feeling as bad as I had, but I was feeling that real, you know, when you're a bit raw, vulnerable, feeling a bit like, and it was really grey, and then just suddenly the clouds opened up a tiny bit, and you know when the sun just like touches your, I don't know, how have I got to talk about this, I'm not sure, I feel like, anyway, but the sun just got, like, how did we get here, the sun was just like on my face, you know, you just feel it, and I was like, oh, and then this memory came up of, I'd been really depressed for about 4 months, maybe longer, and suicidal. It was like really grim time, it's a few years ago, and Christian had to take time off work and everything, and then this one evening we were talking and he said something and I laughed, and he was like, oh, you just laughed, and it was like, what? He's like, you haven't laughed in 4 months, you just laughed, like that was joy. Everything wasn't all okay still. It was still, there was stuff to do, there was, like, you know, but it's like
there's a break in the clouds,
and it's magic, and we have like the power to access that all the time. Like, we always have a choice, we do have a choice, like, and that, and it doesn't, like, choosing joy doesn't mean waving a magic wand and feeling brilliant and feeling like you want to go out party dancing on the table or whatever, but it, like, we have the ability to choose joy. Always.
I'm always very, very mindful when I say that we have choice, that people have choice, because I don't want to hurt or harm people, you know, say, oh, you have a choice, you're going to cheer up. It's not the, it's in context. It's in context. It's not about denying your feelings or emotions.
Yeah,
or
it's a
trauma.
Difficult one, isn't it? It's like, because I'm the same. It's one of those things you feel like, oh, it's like, I feel like I have to. You feel like it needs more explanation. Just like a meme of like, we all have choice.
No, that's, you know, not the case.
Choose
that's
joy.
Not fair.
No, it's totally not fair. And for me, actually, I did go for a period of time that I was feeling really brilliant, like really brilliant. You know, like for a good few months, probably the longest stretch I'd ever had of feeling like really. And there was one person who was in my life who was not feeling brilliant a lot. You know, a lot. And I started thinking, oh God, like, come on. Like, you know, that's ego, you know, it's saying, I'm thinking, oh dear, I don't, like, are they ever gonna, like, be able to, and
stop
then
me buzz.
Stop bringing me down, like, and then, because look at what I've got through, and which is, oh yeah, it's creepy. And then out of the blue, like a kick in the arse, I had the most shitty, horrible, awful, like, the universe just went, right, okay, here, you smug,
how'd you like these apples,
here, have it. And in that whole, I just went to bed. I didn't want to eat. I didn't want to do anything. I was going up and lying in the bed and turn the lights off. You know, it was all very dramatic. And I was feeling really, really, but I felt so awful. And it suddenly, I went, oh yeah, now you remember how, like, horrible it is. And how not always so simple it is. As, like, you know, yes, there's things I can do. And I know there's things I can do. And I know I will do them at the right time. But I'm not doing them right now, because tonight I'm going to lie in bed and feel like this definitely for another 24 hours minimum. I'm not. And it was just really nice. It gave me so much more empathy again. And it was a lovely reminder. And it was like, yeah, you know, don't go there again. Don't be just, because everybody does it when they're ready.
I'm delighted you said that. I'm delighted, because I've been there. I was like, I have it sorted. I can nearly walk on water. I'm like the next fucking Thich Nhat Hanh and all, like, yeah, come to me, I'm so enlightened.
Yeah.
But then it brought me to my knees, like, you know, I was a whole year of panic attacks, anxiety, lying on the floor, I want to take my life by suicide again.
Yeah.
My mate, my spiritual brother, Ty, I don't know why I call my spiritual brother, when he's so analytical, he's like, I don't know why you call me this. He says, but you're my spiritual brother. He's the one who's with me and I want to take my life by suicide. He's been with me many times when this has happened. I tell him more things than I probably tell my counsellor. But he was like, remind me what, you know, man's Viktor Frankl, watch your why. Why are you going through this? And it was exactly what you just said there.
Yeah.
It brought me deeper and deeper and showed me what pain really was. I probably didn't experience the pain like I did with this whole panic attack and want to take my life by suicide again. And it brought me closer to people.
Yeah.
To understanding people's pain at a deeper fucking
level. And a huge thing for me has been realizing that I mean, I don't know if we come back again or what, you know, when we die. I don't know. Who knows? Nobody knows. But yeah, I hope so too.
Yeah. I don't want the party to stop.
But I've this realization, because as well, I had like a big need in me to sort of fix stuff for other people. Like my dad has been very ill for a few years. And this, like, I had this carried this awful sadness that, like, he's in his 70s now. Is he going to, like, is his life going to end with him in this place of anxiety and panic and, like, not living his life? And that really, really bothered me. And then I came, like, this kind of acceptance that not everybody does it in this life. Or maybe we have hundreds of lives and the people who are figuring more stuff out are on their 100th life and someone who's having it all really tough is on their first. It's like, not everybody. You know, it's not going to be the right time for everybody.
Yeah.
And that's okay. The people that it's the right time for. And like, and for me, that it was like, and I don't actually want to fix people. I don't want people to feel like I'm the one who's going to transform them.
Yeah.
I'd love if people knowing that what I've done means stuff is possible and to inspire, you know, to find whatever it is that's right for them to start their own, you know?
Yeah, journey. Yeah.
But it's not about us fixing each, because ultimately we're on our own, really.
We are, and it's why I don't give advice, and I try my best with my kids. It's the hardest one to not do it. I try not tell people what to do, you know, because I truly believe that everyone has their journey, everyone has their path, you know, and it's, I don't try fix people anymore, and I don't call myself a healer. I create a space where people can come and practice healing for themselves, and, you know, and it's that in itself is really hard, because I've always wanted control, and, you know, and then if I fix them, they'll think I'm great, and you know, and I realised myself no one else can fix me either, and that was very freeing as well, because I thought everyone had the answer and everyone knew me more than I knew myself, and now I'm like, no, everyone is just, as we said earlier, like, we're all a bunch of contradictions, and we're all just fucking winging this, and we're trying to find the best way, and, you know, it's scary, but it's also very empowering as well, isn't it?
Yeah, and we, again, this whole thing of just, like, how somebody said to me before years ago, he was like, I think you can really tell, like, where you are, like, as regards, like, how good you feel in those moments before you close your eyes at night, how you feel about yourself in those just few seconds before you fall asleep, and those first seconds when you wake up in the morning and you open your eyes. Like, it's nothing then about what you have materialistically, it's nothing about your external achievements, it's nothing about the people in your life, it's just literally how do you feel about you in those, like, tiny seconds before you go. And I was talking to a friend who, you know, really wants to have a family, and, you know, I can't even imagine the dating world as it is now. I'd like, it's all
still,
you know,
fucking in it. Like, that's a huge piece for me. Like, that's, like, you know, we talk about modules in college and curriculums. That's my biggest one, because that, to me, strikes so many fears. But I have to say to myself, you come along so far. Because, like, when I was last in Mullingar, I was just here just to fucking have sex with anybody. Do you know what I mean? Now I just don't do that, because I know that doesn't bring me closer to what I want. You know, that's just filling an empty void, you know? And the dating world, it's another story.
Yeah, that's a whole other story, and I'm not one I know really anything about. Yeah. But she was saying, like, she feels that, you know, if she had that, and when she looks at people who have that, like, say me, I've been in a relationship for 27 years, and I've got 4 children, and she was like, then you've got that support, you've got that extra thing, you know, you've got that everything is going to be okay because you've got that. And I said, look, well, I don't know what it's like to be single and to not have children, to want that.
Yeah.
So I'm not taking away from that desire at all.
Yeah.
But we are only with ourselves in the end. Like, in the end, I spent years thinking that my now husband, we weren't married until like a few years ago, but I spent years thinking that he was responsible for my, he was the safety net. If he was okay, then I could be okay.
Yeah.
If he was in a bad mood, I couldn't cope. I couldn't, you know, I needed him to be all right for me to feel all right. I took no responsibility for my own joy or at all. And, like, you can be the loneliest, you can be surrounded by the most people and be the loneliest person. You know, you have to, external stuff doesn't fix stuff.
No.
Whatever it is that you're, look, do you know, and fix is the wrong word, I don't like the word fix, I don't think we're broken, but, you know, like, but it doesn't, you know, you can put all your, so much energy into thinking, if I had that, then this would be better.
Just like my pal from the National Rehab, she's a psychologist, Dr. Maria Frampton. I was struggling one day and she put this book on me there. She had to do this great project together, and she put a plaque and she wrote this little post, and I still have the book. And it was like, when you are calm inside, the world is calm outside. And there's a great story inside it. In the eyes of the pig, everything is pigs. In the eyes of Buddha, everything is Buddha. So what that story is saying is, everything that you think about, that is the world.
Yeah.
So if you think the world is chaos, unsafe, struggle, that's what you see.
Yeah.
And that's telling us no external stuff, because that is just a mirror and it's a reflection of what's going on inside here. Yeah. And you will notice, if you notice on the days that you're calm and loving and peace, everything just moves with what's known as wu-wei. It all goes with the flow.
Yeah.
The days you're chaos, fucking the car will break down.
Yeah, completely.
Christian will say something.
Yeah, you'll get a bill you didn't see your hand.
Oh, I don't know. Yeah. But when everything's going well, it's all just beautifully
smooth. Yeah. And for me, I had a conversation with my daughter yesterday, I think it was, and I was explaining to her that I was going to, because she's quite involved and she always knows what I'm doing with my work stuff and everything, and she gets excited and it's nice, and you know, big visions, and it's nice for her to see, I suppose, me like following my dreams and stuff.
An inspiration to her.
But I was explaining to her why I was taking a step back for a few months, despite like it, you know, and I sort of said, you know, it's just because I feel like I've realised over the last little while that perhaps I'm not quite as nice to myself as I thought I was, and that maybe there's some work could be done on my relationship with myself. And it doesn't, I know I can actually, because I'm such a pusher, I can meet all these external goals put my head down. I can do it, but I'm still going to have this other stuff here. I'm still going to be not as nice to myself as I need to be. So then it's not going to be, what's the point of it? And she was like, yeah, no, I totally know what you mean. And like, she wants to be an actress, that's her dream. She wants to live in Hollywood, you know, she wants it. And I said, and you know, like, all I wish for you, and it is all I wish for all my kids and everything that they do, is that they just bloody, that they love themselves, because then all the external stuff that they want will bring them joy.
Yeah.
But they'll still have joy even if it's taken away, you know.
Yeah.
It's like,
yeah, get you.
And it was so nice, because she just like, yeah, she was like, yeah, no, I totally get what you mean, and I think it sounds like a really, you know. And then I said, well, then Matt said, don't be, you know, restricting yourself to 3 months or 5 months. I said, you know, it's just for, just take until you feel right. And she was like, oh, he's right. Yeah, he's right.
I don't have a book on that. So come here. We just passed the Joe Dolan statue.
Again,
we're over the hour. What's the one thing you would like people to say, take away after listening to this interview or just chat? It's not an interview. It wasn't an interview.
It was a chat.
What, like, of all of what we've spoken about today, the struggles of Christmas, you know, the letting go, the trusting, the inner child work.
I would,
you know,
yeah.
What do you say to people?
I say, I absolutely love you. And I know you know that I don't even know you. You might be like, you don't know me. You don't know what a piece of shit I am and all the horrible stuff I've done. It doesn't matter. You're amazing. I just want people to know that they're so amazing. And that no matter what has happened in their lives, or no matter what has made them feel like they're not, and that they're not worthy of all the most amazing good things that they are, and that the key, this is a lot of things I want them to know, isn't it? That the key,
just one thing, just one number thing, on 10.
Just like, mind yourself like you would, well, that's what you say, isn't it? Like, mind yourself. Yeah,
mind your little self.
Mind your little self.
Yeah.
that part of you, that little kid in you that's in all of us, like, just, you're still that, and all the shit that's happened, it's just shit that's happened on top of it. It's like, nothing, there's no like going outside of yourself to make things better. You're, it's already better. You have it. Look after yourself. Wave your pom-poms for yourself every day. Put down the stick and pick up the pom-poms.
I love it. Put down the stick and pick up the pom-poms.
Yeah, I could get that on a t-shirt.
I love it. Here's the thing, what I think, right? What you said, and I think it's a really poignant, and I don't know, we were going around the roundabout at the time when you said it was, right? One is, our brain believes whatever we tell it, right? So first of all, observe the story you've been telling yourself, and if it's not serving you well, and you've been believing that shit, it's time to make those changes. About changing that story and telling it a different story.
And even if it feels like a lie in the beginning, it doesn't matter. Keep saying it. Even if it feels like...
Well, the other stuff is a lie. I'm ugly. Exactly. I'm fat. I'm useless. I'm smelly. I'm a scumbag. I'm dirty. I'm fucking a horrible person. These are all things I used to say about myself.
Years ago, when I started my first experiment to see if I could get heal myself from an eating disorder and stop hating myself. I mean, I hated myself to the very... literally couldn't stand myself. I made myself smile at myself in the mirror every day, and it was so ridiculous. I had to do the bit. It felt so fake. I would be like, stupid, look at me. But actually, every day I did it. Yeah. I just made myself smile at myself. Hi, Hannah. In the end, I started having chats with myself. Oh, hi, Hannah. You're brilliant. Well done.
Well done.
It felt really weird, but in the end, you'll believe it.
I love it. And here's another thing I remind people of. And I love when I sit down, people. You're sitting on a gold mine of potential. People are infinite potential, and you just don't realise it. Which way we go, left or right? This way. People are an infinite potential, and when you start, just get that little spark and notice how good you could possibly be. That's where we get momentum, and then it just snowballs, and that all starts with telling ourselves a different story. Change. Our story, we change our life, you know?
Yeah, totally. And imagine this world if everybody in the world believed that they were good. Because you wouldn't have to fight with it, you wouldn't have to prove anything, you wouldn't have to fight with anybody. You'd just follow, your joy wouldn't matter. It'd be just, imagine that. And every single one of us have the power to, I think the world can seem really big and chaotic and it all seems too much. What's the point?
Of course.
The point is, you do the work on yourself, and then that spreads. It makes you a better person to be around. It spreads. Those other people are a better person to be around, and that's how you make the world a better place. There, we've just solved it.
There you go. All your problems are solved.
Ta-da.
We're sorted. We're fixed. Sorted. I'm fixed. Carpool therapy.
Yeah. Woo! We're flying off.
Okay, so that's it. We're literally back to where we started.
I felt like I was getting picked up for the prom earlier. Or
picked up for your Debs.
Yeah. Debs.
So look, let's pull over, and I just want to thank a few people. Thanks to Hannah Lilly. Thanks for your friendship. Thanks for being a deadly human being. I love you. We've created a lovely friendship. The same with our pal Mally Coyne. I've made some amazing connections on this podcast. Stuff like this. True authenticity, true vulnerability, just being honest, you know. I don't keep in contact with everyone that I do interviews with. I do some people because we just connected on a spiritual and a soul level, and we have, and I'm just so appreciative.
Yeah,
so thanks. Give us a hug.
No.
You're just deadly. And I say that authentically. I don't just blow smoke with people's hole. If I don't think someone's deadly,
I
just don't say it. So look, this podcast will never be anything the way it is thanks to Noel Riley from Rooney Media Graphics. He is the man, the bags, the colours. I've wanted to go off on another avenue and to explore new ways, because that's just where my mind, and Noel say, no, stay with this. This is your brand, and this is the way to do it. He's my mentor, he's my pal, but he's also an amazing graphic designer. He does all my stuff, so if you need any of that, please give him a shout. Noel Roy, Rooney Media Graphics, they're just the best. He's deadly, such a professional. The Liberties people, all the kindness that I receive, all the love, the messages, all the sharing, you know, I'm thankful to that. Shannon's Hope Line, anything we cover today, if it impacts you, let us know. If I can help you in any way, please let me know. If you're interested, any crystals or books, I have a stall in Liberty Market. I'm always trying to sell something.
that's why
I have the bag hanging there. There's always a sell. I am from the flats. But look, mind your little self. What does that mean when you notice when you're giving yourself a hard time, as we spoke here today, the conversations that you have in your head, because it all starts here, the story you tell. Can you change that? Can you be as kind and patient and loving as you would to a child or a little bird?
Yeah, a little puppy or something.
Yeah, can you treat yourself like that? Be patient, be calm, be understanding, be forgiving. Can you do all that for yourself? Then you can authentically do it to the rest of the world. So how does that sound?
Sounds really good. Big love.
Big love. Yup the flats. Yup Mulligar. Yup Joe Dolan. Yeah. Have a fantastic day. Mind your little self. Bye bye.
Staring at herself in the mirror on the restroom door. Voices in her head that mirror what she's heard before. All the things they said to hold her back, they never seem to leave her head. sent to keep reminded, or all the things I said to hold her back.